Jeremiah. He was a weeping prophet. But man, I'll tell you something, he had something to cry over when you see people who are passing up the opportunity to reap a harvest. Passing up the opportunity, and they just not expecting anything. When you give from the heart, it is seed. And it produces benefits for you. Tremendous thing. But that new creation is your reality just as much as you were born into this earth. You were born into heaven. Reality. Oh, I just feel like worshiping God again. Praise God. Let's just worship. Father, we just worship and we praise you for all that you've done in our lives, that you have destroyed the works of the devil in us. You have rescued us. You have put us on a rock to stand on solid ground of the word of God that you swore to fulfill on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. We worship and praise. Let's declare this together. Let's declare our confession. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Oh, when God speaks, things happen. Creation happens. When God speaks, universes happen. Woo-hoo. I just feel like dancing. I want to dance, dance, dance. Praise God. Faith speaks. Righteousness speaks. Wisdom cries out, doesn't it? Well, we're continuing our October series here, The Exceeding Greatness of His Power. For such a time as this, you know, when we think of times like this, that word that came to me when over Kevin, that we need to take these times and look at them straight in the face and say, what an opportunity. I mean, you look at the people, you know, when TV came out and they said, oh, the devil is the prince of the air. And it was antennas, you know. That's an evil thing. Well, Oral Roberts said, no, man, what an opportunity. Yes. Let's get the gospel out. Yes. They turn on the TV sets and hear something good is going to happen to you. Remember that? He said God is a good God when people didn't think he was. And he got a lot of flack from a lot of believing people. No, a lot of believers who said they're believers, but they're not believing too much. And he got a lot of flack from them saying, no, that's a devil's business, that TV stuff, you know. You got to look at things as an opportunity. When you know, there are people who say that the United States Constitution is dead. It's useless. It's obsolete. That the Declaration of Independence is dead. The Bill of Rights is dead. They forgot. God is the God of the resurrection. And what he put into this earth, he can raise from the dead. We are about ready to destroy a lot of the things that the devil has done in this nation. They have lied. They tell you Christopher Columbus was a mass murderer. Are you kidding me? David Barton, go to David Barton's website. He has the true story on Christopher Columbus. But they're doing this because they want to destroy history, because then they can... if you don't know history, you're going to repeat it. Right. And people who don't know the history about Russia, Germany, during the last century, and socialism, and all of these things that happened, they're doomed to repeat it. Socialism has a 100% failure rate. Right. 100% failure rate. It has never succeeded. And they think it's going to succeed all of a sudden here? I got news for them. It will not succeed. It's born to die. It is a man's system that consumes itself. Well, once you get done spending everybody else's money to feed the people who don't want to work, then human life takes on a very inconvenient form for the government. And if they want to murder babies now, when you get old, and socialism is in place, and you live out your usefulness, what do you think socialism is going to do to you? If they don't respect life in the womb, they're not going to respect life out of the womb. This is not a political rally, and I don't know why I'm saying all this, but we got to look at all of this as opportunities. That's why. Because God breathes life into every situation. The exceeding greatness of his power. Here's a tiger in your tank. Great. Amen. Well, we do live in challenging times, but these are opportunities. We need to know who we are in Christ. Who he is in us. What we have in Christ. What he has in us. Like I said, the head can't go anywhere. The body doesn't take it. And if he's directing the body to do something and the body isn't doing it, then the head is... He subjected himself to the body. He lives... Yes, he's Lord. Yes, he's at the right hand of the Father. And yes, he can do mighty things. But he won't do anything in the earth without his body. He won't. It's the way it works. Like I said, when I came up to the pulpit, you didn't say, there's Pastor Tom and his head. We're one and the same. We're one and the same. This is serious business. I want to get into something this morning that really gets us into the foundation of walking in this wisdom and revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the knowledge of Jesus, who he is, what he wants to do, all he has given us, the inheritance that we have, the hope that we've been called to, and the power that is always coming usward, always there, always new, every day. Mercies are new every morning. Amen? All of the attributes of God. Build this foundation. So turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And in verse 17, it says that God be thanked that, you know, once we were servants of sin, we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to us. And being made free from sin, you became servants of unrighteousness. This takes a little bit of looking into on this. Because, you know, when you, that form of doctrine that made you free from sin, you don't really think of doctrine as being so liberating and freeing from sin. But, you know, if you look at various translations of the Bible, it's kind of necessary to know exactly what he's saying here. You know, each language came out of different cultures. And unless you know the culture and their language and why they use those words, just translating verbatim, you're going to lose the meaning of it. It's like if you read a love letter from me to Lori, and you didn't know what we were under, what our base understanding was, then you would have no idea. But this is why it's important to have these, to understand the different cultures and why they said the things they said. And to Paul, it was a form of doctrine, but I'll tell you, you know the way Weymouth translate that form of doctrine. He says it is, you were delivered that system of truth in which you were instructed. This is Paul's system of truth. He's our coach. Let's put it that way. He's our coach. He's the manager of our team, spirit, soul, and body. And he's giving us a system here by which, if we follow that system, it'll lead to tremendous revelation and empowerments with God. But there are things you need to understand. Because normally we don't see doctrine as a liberating force, but when we see a system of truth, we're going in this system that's going to deliver a power punch to everything negative in our life, and it's going to empower us to be free from sin. And not only that, be servants of righteousness. It is powerful stuff. Righteousness in and of itself is a revelation. Weymouth said, that system of truth in which you have been instructed, you were set free. So Paul's talking about a system of truth. James called it the law of liberty. He called it looking into the perfect law of liberty. This is not philosophy. This is spiritual law. And it works when we work it. If we follow the system, Jesus gave us a system called the law of faith. That if you say and believe in your heart and don't doubt, what you say will come to pass. Mark 11:23. Paul also said in his system of truth about the confession, and I'll get that's like step five, but the confession of our faith that releases power. When you said Jesus is Lord, that wasn't in Romans 10, that wasn't just for a salvation message. That if you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. No, that's a daily thing. Because that word saved is the word sozo, and it's all of the facets of salvation: healing, deliverance, safety, protection, soundness, preservation. All of these things that are included in that all-inclusive word of salvation. Confession is made unto healing. Confession is made unto deliverance. Now, I'm not it might be a deliverance from a situation. Not so much delivered from a demonic force or whatever. There are those in the world, and we deal with them. But we have the authority. But confession is made unto all of these things. There's a system to the confession of our faith. When you confess Jesus Lord, that's a powerful, powerful confession. Because that's what brought light into your spirit. That's what the word of recreation brought into your spirit. And you became a new creation in Christ. The moment you said that, righteousness was imparted. And righteousness is something God gives you immediately. That doesn't make you perfect. It just puts you in right standing with Him. That's what righteousness is. So Paul's telling us that if we continue to implement the system of truth, that we will be elevated into a place with the ability to be servants of righteousness and made free from sin. I'll tell you something, that is good. So just by review in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened to know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities, powers, mights, and minions, every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then if you go to chapter 2, verse 4, he said, but God, who is rich, everybody say rich. He's rich in mercy. Man, he's overflowing with it. You know, you think about the sun that shines light in every possible direction. There's only a little teeny sliver of light, of ray, that this earth actually needs. Well, there's only a little tiny sliver of mercy that you need from God. But it's more than enough. It shines everywhere. There's more than enough mercy, grace. There's more than enough faith and truth for everything that you possibly need in God. He's abundant with it. He's packed with it. He's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Even when we were dead in sins. When everything in your life was going against him, when you hated God, you hated God. Every man who's not born again hates God. It's something that the carnal makeup is that we are at enmity with God. Go into that in a little bit. Yet has he quickened us together with Christ. That means he made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. And we talked about the various adjectives that he was using to describe that amazing power that raised Jesus from the dead. Exceeding. Greatness. Us who believe. The mighty power. His mighty power. Wrought. Mighty. The three words are dunamis, kratos, and ischus. Dunamis is miracle-working power. It's explosive, self-energizing power that Jesus, it says in the King James, it called virtue. That's a good word for that because his virtue is miraculous. You know, the church was founded in the supernatural. It's been maintained in the supernatural, and it will end in the supernatural. That's dunamis. And then you got kratos, which is the demonstrative power of God, the resurrection power of God that caused earthquakes, men to faint, that caused Jesus to rise from the dead. Every cell of his body started to receive that life from the kratos power of God. And the ischus is the muscle. It's the mighty, the muscle behind that miracle-working power. Amen. Now, in Ephesians 2:5 in the Amplified, we get a whole new picture of this. Let's go there, John. Ephesians 2:5 in the Amplified. Are we there?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. You're in fellowship with him and in union with him. Now, you may not be fellowshipping with him too much, but you're in fellowship with him. Open your mind, start acknowledging him. Go home and start talking to him. Talk to him on the way home. Talk to him on the way to church. Talk to him on the way. Fellowship with him because you're in union with him. And it says, he gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life which with which he quickened him or made him alive. For it is by grace, his mercy, the favor and mercy which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. The very life, the same life. That's what you need to identify with. That the same life that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. This is not dreamland. This is reality. This is not philosophy. It is spiritual law. This really happened. And when you received Christ into your heart, that really happened. Now what you need to do is shut your mind off and from talking you out of it. You see, you are a spirit. This is the first part of Paul's system of truth is what is man? And he goes into great detail that man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Reasonings are the voice of your soul, your knowledge and your mind and your emotions. Feelings are the voice of your body. And your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Somebody said, I'm bipolar. Well, you could be tripolar because you got three voices speaking to you, one in your body, one in your mind and emotion, and the other from your spirit. Amen?
Yes.
And you need to choose to obey the scriptures, choose to walk in the scriptures, and choose to obey God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
So you need to do that. But man is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives in a body. Your spirit looks exactly like you. When Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, and he saw the rich man over in the flames, that's the bad part. You don't want to go there. And he said, send Lazarus over that he could dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. Finger, tongue, he could see, he could hear, he could speak. You'd think these guys are still in their bodies, but they weren't. Your spirit looks like you do. Your spirit has arms, legs, hands, a head, everything, has a body. Your spirit, that's who you are. Your spirit possesses a soul made up of your mind and your emotions and your will. That's your will is centered in your soul. And then your body is where you live. That's your house. And when you don't need it anymore, you go on to better things. Amen. What is man? That's a good question. Some people feel, you know, when you're old enough to just, I'm a person, I'm alive, I'm in this world, how did I get here? What's my purpose? I know I'm going to leave someday. What, you know, what's this all about? And people feel a real responsibility and a duty to find out what this whole thing is about. I mean, have you ever been, do you remember? Maybe it was kindergarten, maybe it was first grade, who knows? All of a sudden you became aware. There's a beginning and an end to this. And from that moment on, the devil was right there coaching you, conforming your mind to death, the laws of sin and death. But God was there too. See why it's so important to get your kids to church? Get your kids to church. I don't care what's going on. Get your kids to church and let them hear the word of God. Because we are living in a world of deprivation. That means we're depriving people of the knowledge of God. We're depriving people of the presence of God and the power and the word of truth that leads and guides us through life like a torch on the inside. It's a candle on the inside. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, like the flashlight. That's what they used to use as a flashlight in those days. It was a candle. Amen. And but it's like a flashlight. And that light will guide you into all truth. That's the light that lights every man that comes into the world, the Bible says. Doesn't mean they're born again. It just means that they have the light of the knowledge of God. So walking in revelation in a world of deprivation, there's always opportunities to stay away from church, the word, to stay away from studying the word, opening the word, praying these scriptures into your life, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of my understanding be flooded with light so that I might know beyond question what my hope is, what the hope of my calling is, what he has called me to. What are the riches of the inheritance that he's laid up for me that I can tap into in this world and in the world to come? And what is the greatness, the exceeding greatness of his power? Well, exceeding more than what? Doesn't matter, it's exceeding. No matter what trial you're facing, what temptation, what power is coming against you, there is an exceeding greater power on the inside of you. The very same life and power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and that power undid all the works of the devil. That's where the rubber meets the road here. What is man? What is man? Step number two in Paul's system of truth is your identification in Adam. Paul traces the root of all of our problems back to Adam, that one man's decision affected every man, every culture, every language, every nation. Somebody said, well, that's not fair. One man, his decision affected me so adversely? That's not fair. Well, the same law that passed that sin onto you also made it legal for one man to die for you, and that man is Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you and raised you up with him, with his power, with his life. The Kratos power, resurrection power of God is in you, resurrecting you, giving. Cells that have died in your body, some of you in your brain, feel like I was a rock and roller, and that's what we did. I'd start up playing, there was drinks on my amplifier, guests who gave them there, and everything, but that was, I'm not even going to go there. It was such a toilet. It's accurate. But the thing is, every cell in your body does that mean I won't die? No, you will die unless you're raptured. Because your body hasn't been redeemed yet. That's going to happen. Your soul hasn't been redeemed yet. But the people who are, this is why spirit, soul, and body. This is why once you get your spirit born again, then it's up to us to present our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, which is a reason, and get your mind renewed, your soul transformed by the renewing of your mind by the word of God. Transform your spirit, soul, and body. So your identification is in Adam. The same law that passed all this down to us, operated. Jesus took that same law and operated to give us life. So one man got us into this mess, one man got us out. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he's not the second Adam, he's the last Adam. Because you know what? Just to make sure that this thing didn't fail again, what he did, God got into a body and he did it himself to make sure there's not going to be any more failure in the redemption department. Amen? Amen. Number three, man's condition in Adam. You can read Romans 1. You can read Romans 3, Ephesians 2, and it gets really dark. The condition of man in Adam. But once you, and then step four is to know what happened from the cross to the throne. Once you understand your condition in Adam and who you were, then you get to see what the necessity of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and what happened there from the cross to the throne. That's number four. That was an absolute necessity. Man's identification with Christ is number five. Man's identification with Christ. This is where the revelation of the new creation and the realities associated with the new creation begin to be revealed and empower us. When you understand what happened from the cross to the throne. This is where we say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. This is a system of truth. That's what truth is. Jesus said, if you continue in my words, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Why? Because as you continue it, you'll know the truth. And it's the truth that you know that makes you free. It's the truth that you have a relationship with that makes you free. It's the truth that gives you revelation and understanding in Jesus. When you see how Jesus walked, then you can see how you walk, how you should walk. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, I believe, it says, or 6, that says, whoever says he knows him ought himself so to walk even as he walked. He wouldn't say that if you couldn't do it. If you couldn't walk like Jesus, why would he even make you recreated in the first place? Does this make sense to any of you? Are you guys going to sleep?
No.
Oh, wake up and Christ will give you light. Awake to righteousness, and Christ will give you light. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that says he lives in him or abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. You can walk just like Jesus. If you missed the past couple of messages here, your identification with Jesus is everything. Because according to what I just showed you in those scriptures, you are identical to him in the earth. Identical. That's the word identity comes from the word identical. So if your identity is in him, it says as he is, not as he was, as he is, risen with the resurrected power of God on the inside. As he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in this world. Get this into your heart. Get these revelations into your heart so that you can see yourself like he sees you. like what Dwight was saying, get your imagination going. God gave you an imagination for a reason, to fill it with truth, to reflect his image in you. Imagination. That's where it comes from. It's your ability to see yourself as God sees you. And when you see him, you'll be like him, for you'll see him as he is. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it doesn't know him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And every man that has this hope inside him purifies himself even as he is pure. Praise God. Say this, as he is. So am I.
So am I.
If he healed people, I'll heal people.
Amen.
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 Amen. Trying to figure out how to stop this thing, but we'll just put the brakes on for now. Praise God. There is one more little detail, I think, here. You need to identify yourself with Christ as in fellowship and in union with him. What does that mean? Well, you're talking to him. You're fellowshipping with him. But you're also in union with him. What does that mean? It means that you're a joint heir. Whatever he got for you. Whatever God did in Christ, he did for you. You're the reason Jesus did everything he did, so that everything that he bought for you, it can be accessed by you. It's yours. Ooh, that just tickles going down. That's like an ice cream cone. Father, we thank you for the wonderful work that you've done in each of us. The word, the revelation that we have to understand the very thing that you so desired and fulfilled your will and your heart and your love and your mercy and everything that you had in mind for us when you sent Jesus to that cross. And he paid so dearly for 3 days and 3 nights. Oh, but you raised him. You raised him from the dead. And when you raised him from the dead, you raised us from the dead. That the dead spirit on the inside of us that had its identity in death, in Adam, in the laws of sin and death and everything that govern, the Lord, you sent your word, the truth, that delivered us from death and brought us into the law of sin, a law of the spirit of life in Christ, in the anointing and the anointed one. We thank you, Father, for the showers of grace that come every day, the pools of mercy and the wonderful life. We refuse to limit it. We take all the limitations off. And we thank you, Father, that from this point forward, we're going to walk in freedom, in fellowship and in union with you, knowing who we are in Christ, who he is in us, what we have and where we are. In Jesus' name, amen.